of the theorem, the second proof, there is not so much to prove. B said that x contains at least one vector. This is a consequence that of the consequence of the fact that the normal equation system has always solutions. So this is not a problem. We have already proved this. Close it. And also convex. These two assertions are trivial in the case of a unique solution. If in the case of a unique solution is, as we remarked, the case of maximum rank of A, unique vector X solution, say X star. So a set containing only one vector is trivially closed and convex. So these two properties make sense in the case of deficient rank, in the case that the rank of A, and so also the rank of A conjugate transpose by A, is strictly less than the maximum value. But it is sufficient to think of the characterization of the set of solutions of a linear system, in this case, this linear system. Quando le soluzioni sono infinite, while solutions are infinitely many, they can all be written as a particular solution. Plus a vector V belonging to the kernel, the null space of the coefficient matrix. A set of vectors of this form is called linear manifold, varietà affine in Italian. It is sufficient to see geometrically what is a linear manifold when the size, the dimension of the nullity is 1. In this case, if n is 2 and the nullity of the coefficient matrix is 1, we can see the plane, how the vectors involved in this consideration play their roles. So in this case, if we are in, for the sake of simplicity, let us think that we are in the real case. So this is a particular vector, a particular solution, a particular point. And we can represent the vectors V on some straight line passing through the origin of the plane. So the set X of solution is is the set of points of this straight line.
Cioè una varietà affine, in questo caso semplificato, è rappresentata da una retta del piano non passante per l'origine. Detto.
A linear manifold is represented in this case where the dimensions are very low by a straight line not necessarily passing through the origin of the plane. So it is simple to realize that we have a closed set. Uppercase X is this line, which is closed and convex. We don't make a formal proof of this. This property probably will not be used in the formal. So we could also have skipped it. The third point has also already been proved. The third point, C, says that it contains only one vector A star if and only if the rank of A to the H by A is maximum, say N. We have already explained this fact. The reason is that this is the only case when this matrix is invertible. The last point, B. The interesting case of the point T is obviously the case of infinitely many. Infinitely many solution. We are interested in characterizing the solutions. The solution, because you will see that there is only one X star. Minimizing the norm over the set of minimizing vector. Does this vector exist or no? Why? It exists and it is unique. Here you will find an artificial derivation for proving this. I think it is better and simpler to see this fact just starting from the way in which all the solutions can be expressed. That is, a particular solution. All the solutions can be written as X particular solution plus V belonging to the kernel, the null space of this. When we are interested in norm of this vector, as usual, the square of norms of these vectors. When you find the norm, better the square of the norm two nodes of the sum of two vectors, it is useful, it's always useful to exploit, if it is possible, orthogonality instances. I mean, I can always write this particular solution as the sum of its projections, as before. Projections over this null space and its orthogonal. So if I call these two projections W1 and W2, the first in the null space, the second in its orthogonal. Here I have this. I put it together with V, which is also in the same subspace, plus the other projection. So, as in the proof of the first point, we have again the square of the two norm of the sum of two vectors which are orthogonal. È il teorema di Pitagora. Pitagora's theory is the same thing. In this case, it is true that the square of the norm of the sum is equal to the sum of the two squares. Okay? With squares. Well, x is already a minimizing point, x is a solution. In this moment, I desire to minimize the norm of x. This term, this vector, is in the moment it has been chosen, it is fixed, while v is varying. So this is fixed. This is assigned in some sense, while the first vector containing v is varying. When I minimize minimization with respect to v, the vector of the null space. The minimum, the possible minimum for a norm is zero. Is it possible to make this vector zero? Yes, it is sufficient to choose v equal to minus w1. So this term can be made zero by choosing v equal to minus w1. That belongs to the same subspace, so it is possible. V. I have that the norm of x, which will be the minimum, will be simply the second term, the norm of the second projection, with or without the square, at this point is no more necessary. Minimum now is over the set X. There is another problem. So we see in this way that the minimum for the norm exists. There is a last property which was not mentioned in the statement of the theorem. It is true that the vector x star
for which the minimum is reached is unique, and it belongs, this has already been seen, to the orthogonal of null space. We have just seen that the minimum is reached when x is equal, x say star is equal to the second projection, which belongs to the orthogonal. I forgot the symbol of the orthogonal space. The solution of minimum norm, or minimal norm, is unique. Let us suppose that we have two vectors of minimum norm, two solution vectors of minimum norm. Say. X star and X star star. In both cases, I can write the vectors as the sum of their projections. In the second case, say the two projections are marked with the tilde. I have already shown that for minimality, the first projection in both cases must be zero. If I I forgotten. This is the these are the projections of x zero. So the the vector v, the generic vector v, must be added. We saw that these terms must be zero. Why the two vectors must be equal? If I consider there are difference. If I consider the difference of two solutions of a system in the case where there are infinitely many solutions, the difference must belong to the kernel. But if I express this difference from these relations, I obtain that this is also equal to the difference between the two projections. Projections over what? Over the orthogonal. It is true, the difference of two solutions must be in the null space. But in this case, both the solutions coincide with their projections on the orthogonal. This is a subspace, so the difference is again in the subspace. So this difference belongs to the intersection of two orthogonal spaces.
belongs to both the subspaces, so it belongs to the intersection, but the intersection, the intersection between two orthogonal spaces is the null space, is the trivial subspace, is not the space, they are linear subspaces, so the intersection is the trivial subspace. This means that the two solutions of minimum norm must coincide. They are the same vector. So we have a nice set of properties. So the problem, okay, yeah?
Why do we have plus b in there if big star is?
Because.
What is the point of having b equal to minus w1 like the wolf black curve?
You are referring to these two? Yeah. These two expressions originate from the general possibility of expressing a solution as a particular solution, which is this, plus a generic vector of the subspace. Here we have
x star is w2, so b is minus w1. That was what we have done previously. Right, in the blackboard above there is written b equal.
What is the problem? Having chosen v equal to minus, this term disappear.
Yeah, what's confusing is why I have we deleted w1 and kept v. I thought that w1 was 0 because v was minus w1.
Let me see. This is the same as this. W1 plus V, W1 plus V, V is chosen in such a way that this is zero.
Yeah. Huh? No, we are not deleting, we are keeping V. It's not crossed out in the equation. Well, maybe it's definitely.
I don't understand why. The sum of these two disappear in both.
In the division, you have crossed out W1, saying, okay.
This was wrong. The first deletion was wrong. First deletion, I forgot to add this term, which is essential. The first deletion was my mistake. Okay.
It was not deleted.
No, it's not deleted. Oh, okay. The terms which we delete are given by the sum. The term given by the sum of these two. These must be put together because they are in the same subspace. So only the second projection is left, and so the right consequence. It was my mistake. The relation of the first term. Okay. The normal equations, in the case of maximum rank. So the case of unique solution of the problem. First method derives from natural choice, originating from the constatation, from the realizing that this matrix is Hermitian semi-positive vector. The subcase of maximum rank We have also that
unique solution, as has already been remarked, is determinant is non-zero, which is the elective method for emission positive, so in this case we have positive definite. The elective method, direct method, is the Cholesky method, which can be seen as the first choice. It is stable, as you know. Let us give a look to the complexity between, because when considering other methods for solving the problem, one aspect that has to be taken into consideration is the comparison of the complexities of the method and also their stability properties. The complexity of the Cholesky method. Before applying the Cholesky method, that is the factorization L to the H L, we remember that the multiplicative complexity of factorizing matrix, say B n by n, as L by L emission to H, the number of multiplicative flops is of the order of n cubed of 6. But before computing this factorization or applying directly the Cholesky method, the matrix, in this case B, is this matrix. This matrix must be computed. This has a cost, naturally. This is the product of two rectangular matrices. This is A, this is its conjugate transpose. The result is square. Each entry of the result requires computation of the scalar products of two vectors of length, complex vectors of length m. So he has m by m, m multiplicative operations, and this has to be made for all the n squared entries of the matrix, taking into account also the fact that the matrix is Hermitian. So only one half of the total number of entries of the matrix has to be computed. So the total. Computing the coefficient matrix one half n by the square of n, computing L by L to the H is this order of complexity. The sum
This sum can be written in more compact formula, as we can put as a factor the square of 10. So the cost of Cholesky, the multiplicative cost of Cholesky, will be 1/2 n square m plus n over 3. I check if it is the right final count. Okay. Just remember this. This value of complexity. The second method, and another remark. What about stability? The stability of method depends on the propagation of rounding errors and can be measured in some sense by means of the backward error analysis, also by considering the conditioning of the problem. We know that Cholesky is stable. There is no problem for Cholesky. Some issue of stability can derive from the computation of the coefficient matrix. This not only contributes significantly to the total amount, to the computation of this matrix, but this computation doubles. Squares. Not doubles. Squares. The condition number. The condition number increases. It squares. Why? What is in this case the condition number? It's clear. We have defined it 1 month ago about the condition number with regard to a given norm of a square matrix is the chosen norm of the matrix by the same norm of the inverse. The inverse exists in this case, the product of the two norms. Well, it can be proved. And it is not clear, but we will clarify this aspect next time. It is not clear who is the condition number of A. Why it is not clear? The given definition, the known definition, does not apply in this case because A is rectangular. We have always considered the problem of conditioning for square matrix, square invertible matrix. This is square, this is invertible. This is not square, so it makes no sense to speak about its invertibility. Anyway, it can be defined in some fashion we will see next time, and it can be proven that the condition number of matrix of the normal equation system is the square of the condition number of the given matrix computed according to some definition you do not yet know at this time. So it is correct to say that due to the squaring of this condition, there can be some problem in effective computation of the solution by means of the Cholesky method, not for the Cholesky method itself, but for this reason. It would be preferable avoiding the computation of these matrix. A few words introducing words about the second method. In the second method, the QR method, we will see immediately that the computation of this matrix does not appear. It is avoided. The idea is simple. The problem is the same. We know by the fundamental theorem that solutions exist. We start again from the two norm of the residual. So, QR method for solving the least squares, the linear least squares problem. Again, the residual, the norm of the residual. It is not necessary in this case to square the matrix. Let me check. No, also in this case it is better to start from the beginning with the square of the two norm. And now we use the QR, the composition, the QR factorization of the matrix A. We described this factorization for the square case. The square matrix A can be factorized in infinitely many ways as the product of a unitary cube and upper triangular matrix R of the same size. This can be made with the same tool, essentially household procedure, household elementary matrices, also when the given matrix is rectangular, as in our case. We start from a generic rectangular matrix. If we apply n minus 1 householder elementary matrices, we reach the same result. The matrix A is transformed in another rectangular matrix, R, upper triangular. In this case, the matrix R is not square, this is not a problem. We here have all zero entries. Here we have a square, the unitary matrices has necessarily to be square matrices, Q. Q is the product of the householder matrices, it's n by n, n by n. There is no problem to consider and also to compute with that, with the householder method, the QR factorization of this matrix. Why can I exploit the properties of this factorization, which are essentially the property
due to the properties, due to the presence of these unitary matrices. Unitary matrices interact well, very nicely, with the norm 2, with the 2 norm. Because if I have a vector x and I multiply it by a unitary matrix, the 2 norm is the same. Product by unitary matrices leave unchanged the Euclidean norm when Q is multiplied by vectors or also by matrices in both cases. In our case, we have this we have the residual written that way. We put it as a factor in the left side of the expression, the matrix Q. Here I have to put the conjugate transpose of Q. I can drop off the matrix Q by this property. So now I have to minimize the square of the norm of this other vector r by x. This vector will be colored c. Let us give a look to the effect of multiplying the rectangular matrix r. Here I have 0, 0, the first n rows of R are selected to form a square n by n submatrix, which will be called R sub 1, and also the vector C. Let us partition it in subvector sub 1, subvector sub 2, the first n rows. The vector C is long as size n. Well, the 2 norm, the square of the norm of this vector, can be expressed as the square of the norm of difference of R by X minus the first subvector of C plus the second part of two vector, 0 here, and C2, that is minus C2 norm squared. This property, again, the square of the norm sum is expressible of the sum of the squares, can be exploited by introducing the square. So the square is needed also in this case. The final consideration. Just remember, we want to minimize. Again, we have this minus sign can be cancel it. We want to minimize. This vector is independent of x. This vector depends on x. Is it possible to make 0 this vector, and so also its norm?
we have again a linear system, another linear system. We make the simplest assumption, that is, if R1 is invertible, when this matrix is invertible, when the rank of A is maximal. If the rank of A is, if and only if the rank of A is maximum, also the rank of R is maximum, since it is maintained by the QR factorization, and by the structure of R, this sum matrix must be invertible. So, if this matrix is invertible, we can choose X as the solution of this linear system, that is the inverse of this matrix by C1. We are again in the case of unique solution. The case of infinitely many solutions has to be considered. We will consider it on next time, on Thursday. Another more important consideration. In this case, you see that we do not compute this matrix. We have only to apply the householder method to the rectangular matrix A. So the computational count has to be done. This is what we will. We will perform this check next time. Computational cost. And we will see easily that it is in general greater than Michalski's one. QR method costs more, requires more flops than the Cholesky method, but it is for this reason, this computation is not necessary, it is stable. It is stable, again, with regard, when compared to the Cholesky method applied to this matrix. Any questions? If not, we stop here. We continue with the QR method on Thursday in the afternoon. In the morning, next Thursday, will take place the additional lecture. Okay.